again, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this open mic on this January the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and to begin our program, we are pleased to have Joni and Mary with us, who have a few things to thank.
Yes, Tom, we're continuing with our 90th anniversary, continuing to thank those who have supported us. Today, I'd like to thank Violetta from Tallulah, Illinois, place I've never heard of before. Have you, Mary?
I have not.
Bernie of Arnold, Missouri, Eloise Warrington, Robert and Donna Baldwin, William and Eunice Morton Grove, Illinois, Elaine from St. Louis, Lois from St. Charles, Pearl from Ruma, Illinois, Arlene and Ferdinand from Stewartson, Illinois, in honor of Irvin Lentz, Ray from Concord, North Carolina, Elizabeth from Muscatine, Iowa, Patricia from Florissant, Susan and Michael from Chesterfield, Janine and Michael from St. Louis, Laurel and Dennis from DePere, Jeannie from St. Louis, Andrew and Wilma from Boonville, Missouri, Betty and Ruth from Clarksville, Indiana, and Eloise from Warrington gave her gift in memory of Albert and Helen Marshall. Again, we'd like to remind you, please, if you want to consider giving a gift to KFUO, you can call Mary Schmidt at 996-1518 or myself, Joni Harwell, at 996-1512 and make a gift to KFUO. Or if you want to go online at kfuo.org, you can also just hit the Give Now button and make a gift. Many of these people gave in memory or in honor of a loved one who they felt was blessed by KFUO. If you have been, or your mother or father, grandparents, please consider making a gift to KFUO. And as we continue with this 90th anniversary, we continue to invite our listeners to stop by. We just had someone stop by the other day and actually brought in their T-shirt and asked us to autograph it, which was lots of fun, wasn't it, Mary?
It was. I liked it. Yeah. It was a good idea, actually.
You didn't ask me to sign it.
Well, we haven't gotten it to you. In for a half hour, remember? We have to run in real quick with you.
Okay, sorry.
This gentleman came over. He saw the display we have, the Lego display, all the pictures we have of the history of KFUO, came into the studios. We showed him around. So if you want to come, drop by, give us a call, let us know, or just drop by and we will visit with you. We'd be happy to visit with our listeners.
We'd also like to thank Harold of Valley Park, Missouri, Doris of Lynn Creek, who gave in memory of her daughter, Julia Russian, Doris and Orville of Monet, Missouri, Douglas of Weldon Springs, who gave in honor of Dwayne and Laverne Meyer in celebration of their marriage, Gail and Gerald of Sparta, Illinois, Lewis of Collinsville, Illinois, Vivian and Donald of St. Louis, Deanna of Millstadt, Arthur of Garrison, North Dakota, Diane and Frederick of Frona, Missouri, Betty of Weldon Springs, Missouri, Dolores and James of St. Louis, Shirley of Waterloo, Illinois, Anthony of Winfield, Missouri, Jo Ellen from Mason, Michigan, Shirley and Hazel from Waterloo, Illinois, Carol and Robert of Elk Grove Village in Illinois, who gave in loving memory of Bill Lindenberg, Linda from St. Louis, who also gave in loving memory of Reverend Dr. and Mrs. H.A. Mullering, Marie and Harold of Florissant, Hope of Sterling, Illinois, and Jay of Festus, Missouri, who gave in loving memory of Dolores Moore. Thank you so much for your support and prayers during this time.
Thank you, Tom, for letting us be on your program for a few minutes, and thank our wonderful supporters here at KFUO.
Yes, and as I said to you before the broadcast, my prayer is that even more people will be giving so that you're on every day next week.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because when
you
come on, I don't have to prepare that much.
Okay. Next time we'll end it with a tough question for you.
Oh, all right. Yes. No, I'm going to stay with Louise. Okay. And we're back on Law and Gospel here. I have an email from an individual in Florida who writes this, and I promise to respond to it. We presently have communion every other Sunday. There are some, which I am one, that want communion every Sunday, and some that want it left just the way it is. I would like to know what convinced you to have communion every Sunday at your church. Your thoughts on this would be greatly appreciated. Well, I'm going to share what happened at the church I was at. We had a communion every other Sunday, or at least the first and third Sundays. We didn't even have it on the fifth Sunday, the first and third Sundays. And I made the mistake of having a pastor called named Peter Karowski, who was our co-pastor. We like to talk about being co-pastors. I don't like assistant or associate. Unfortunately, our denomination never permitted us to refer to ourselves as co-pastors. You have to be an associate or assistant. But at any rate, we were talking about communion, and he said that he felt it was necessary to go every Sunday. This is Pastor Peter Karowski, and you hear him occasionally on the Bible study, and I've had him on. And he's written a lot of books that you can purchase by going to lawandgospel101.com. Well, at any rate, I challenged him to that. I said, look, I'm going to take a course at the seminary, and I'll prove to you that you should not be needing to go every Sunday communion. Well, my second mistake was that I took a course with a Dr. Evanson, who was a pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the end of which I became convinced that communion was kind of like the dessert of the worship service. If the sermon is the main meal and all the vegetables are the liturgy and the hymns, boy, the Lord's Supper is really important. So what we did, I agreed with Pastor Karowski that I was in error, and what we began to do, we began to talk about the Lord's Supper, and I took a course, another course at the seminary with a Dr. Norman Nagel. You hear him at times on Issues, etc. He had done his doctorate on the Lord's Supper, and it was the best course I ever took on the Lord's Supper. At the end of that, Pastor Karowski and I began to talk about the Lord's Supper at the congregation, and it was about 4 months that we were doing Bible studies on it when we got requests from people to start having it every Sunday. And in fact, unlike when we brought in the new hymnal, where two people really disagreed with that even after we brought it in, I don't recall anybody really disagreeing with the Lord's Supper. Now, there were certain reasons that I did not want the Lord's Supper every Sunday. One of them was that we did baptisms. We were kind of in an inner city situation. And when I would do a baptism of a baby, a lot of the relatives who came to see the baptism were not Lutheran. And therefore, I would always schedule the baptism on a non-communion Sunday so they wouldn't be in a position of asking, can I come to communion, and me answering that and all this. So there were reasons that I felt it was kind of necessary not to have communion every Sunday. Well, it worked out better than I had thought. And in fact, after about 2 years, we had a service. It was a Sunday school service around Christmas where we didn't have the Lord's Supper. And a number of people complained that they hadn't felt they had been at church because we didn't have the Lord's Supper. So what I would do, Concordia Publishing House has some excellent materials on the Lord's Supper. And if you're a pastor wondering about going to every Sunday communion, I would not just start it. No. You need, like Luther did. Martin Luther realized that the church needed to receive both the body and the blood. At that time, they were only giving out the bread, the body. And what did he do? Did he go and just start giving it out? No. He had 6 sermons on it. And the people then requested also to receive the wine, the blood of Jesus Christ. So one can move on the basis of God's word into changes in the congregation of practice. And The Lord's Supper is really a high point of the worship service. That's how we went about doing it, even though I was opposed to it initially. Both the classes I took with Pastor Evanson, Dr. Nagel, as well as talking to Peter Kurowski convinced me. By the way, Pastor Kurowski has written a book on conversations in regard to the Lord's Supper, and that's also available from us if you would like to see it. It's one of our best sellers, where he has a number of instances throughout his ministry where he would give the Lord's Supper to certain people, and he would deny the Lord's Supper to certain people because of close communion. It'd be really interesting for you to maybe take a look at that. At this point, let's go to the phone lines. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Let's begin with Ron. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
Very good.
I am Wrong Way Ron from Reformation, Church of the Reformation.
Is that with Pelsu?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. I've preached there a few times. How can I help you?
Well, no, I was just going to tell you, as far as our communion, I used to not like communion because it extended the service.
Yes.
Now, that was used to. I have gotten to the point where I want communion every Sunday. And I would say we have communion every 3 out of 4 Sundays.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciate it. And if it was up to me, we would have them have communion every Sunday.
Yes. And, well, I'll tell you why that happened there. You had some great members. Henry Gehrke is there, who is very strong on that. David Pelsu, who, by the way, was a field worker of mine. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And then you had some professors there who just really would be well in talking about that. But what do you see as the important item in regard to communion, why you appreciate it so much?
The reason that I appreciate it so much is to me, it feels like I'm connecting more with Christ, and that when I ask for forgiveness and when I ask for various things in prayer, like the healing of someone, I feel like I'm more connected to Christ through the body and the blood.
Could I give you a suggestion on how to say that?
You might ask. You can give me any suggestion. I appreciate everything you say.
Because after I say this, you're going to say, I'm going to use this from now on, that the reason you appreciate it is because Christ is more connected to me.
Absolutely correct.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, I'm taking the very body of Christ, and I'm taking the very blood of Christ.
And it's just not the body and blood, but you are also receiving the benefits of that body given for you and that blood shed for you.
Yes. Now, I have seen some churches that do what I call a drive-by communion, where everybody just walks through. They don't kneel, and I don't like that.
Yes, I have to say my home church, St. Paul de Pere, does that, and I do like that. I'll tell you. When you've got 800 people in there, and if you do it where everybody kneels in large churches like that, it does take a half an hour sometimes.
And I understand and I agree.
And I don't have any problem, because they still do the dismissal, and you know, at the end of the Lord's Supper. But like on Easter Sunday, they actually have 4 tables going. Or else we would be there an extra hour. And that particular church now has 4 services on a Sunday morning. So I don't have a problem with that. I know a lot of people do, because of the way they were raised. They just want to be able to kneel. Now, we still kneel, and then one comes by and gives the bread, one comes by and gives the wine. And when we're done, we stand, we bow, and we walk out. Do you have a problem with that, where you're still kneeling?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I just don't like the ones where you just walk by and you're standing up, and it's like you walk by the stations, and they just give you the body, they give you the blood, and you leave.
Yes, that does happen there on Easter. I've been at congregations where I have suggested ways in which to help with the Lord's Supper, because in some congregations, for example, they'll have the whole table there, and the new table can't come up at all until the other table is totally gone. And it does take some time there. But each congregation needs to make its decision, because that's what we call an adiaphora. It really doesn't matter which way it's done. Now, what I don't like is what they do in Baptist churches, where they go down the pews and they hand out a piece of wafer and some grape juice. And yeah, the people stay in the pews. I don't like that at all.
No.
But did you know how the Roman Catholic Pope did it in Manila?
No.
He had 6 million people there, so obviously they couldn't line up. It would have taken days. What happened, they had many people, priests going out, distributing. They only gave out the wafer. But because the crowds were so dense, you couldn't stand in a line. And what happened, it was really quite interesting. People at the front of the line would be communed, and then they would take the wafer, and they would hand it back to those behind them. And it was really kind of interesting to see that happen. I didn't have a problem with that, but it showed how they were trying to help their neighbor also receive the body of Christ.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for calling. And anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 8210850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions or comments. One is, how I looked at it was with the worship services. If you were in the Old Testament, it seemed like the worship services revolved around the sacrifice and blood being shed. And I kind of think that with our New Testament worship services, that's the important thing, is having communion as the centerpiece of the worship service, because that's where the blood being or having been shed, us receiving it, is really to be the high point. I'm not sure if I'm correct in my thinking. I wanted you to comment on that. And then also, what would be, I used to go to this church that you came up and you knelt, but now I go to church that you don't do that. And on occasion, I just feel like, you know, I just need another moment or two, so I will take it back to my seat with me and just sit there for a few minutes. And that's one of the ways that I maybe take a little bit more time. It gives me a little bit more of that meditation time, I guess, on that. So I wanted to see what you thought about that.
You're saying you are taking back the host?
Yeah, I take it with me and the wine, and I sit down for a few minutes in the chair.
Even so, you have individual cups.
Yes.
I haven't really thought about that. I don't see a problem if he's not dismissing the table each time. They do it just at the end?
Yeah, we do that. And what we do is we all go up and we don't kneel at all. We just...
Yes, I understand.
Know,
right.
And then go back to the chairs. And it seems a little quick for me.
Yes, I understand that. I'll tell you a thing that I'm pushing at congregations I'm at. I like to give the bread to the mouth, not to the hand. I'm not saying that's wrong. And you know why? It's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees a vision of God, and he says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and living with a people who are sinners." He thought he would die because he saw an image of God. What happens then, the angel goes to the altar, takes off a coal, and touches his lips. And God says that your sins are forgiven. They have been atoned for. And so I've always makes the point that when the pastor gives you the body and blood of Christ and touches your lips, it's just like what the angel does, because the word angel does, I believe, refer to the pastors in Revelation 2 and 3. And therefore, we are like that angel, but we're not taking a coal from the altar. We're taking the body of Christ. So when I take the Lord's Supper, I always have it given to my mouth. I'm not saying you have to. It's just more meaningful to me. But I, at this point, don't see a problem with what you're doing. There was a problem in the early church, especially at the time of Luther, where they only gave out the bread, that people would palm it and take it home and give it to their sick cows. And so that was one of the reasons why they started giving it directly into the mouth. And so when somebody sees you leaving and then doing it in the pew, do you ever get any questions about that?
No, I haven't so far.
Yeah, okay. Do you let the pastor know that's what you're doing?
You know, I have not.
Yeah, I would, because if he sees you leaving and, like, at most churches,
he might be thinking I got a cow at home.
Well, not that so much, but just wondering what's he doing. But what you're saying, you need to really meditate upon this. Now, what the liturgy calls for is when you go back to your seat, you bow your head and do meditate upon it and have a little prayer before you continue perhaps with the singing of the service or something. But I'd have to talk to more pastors and get some advice from them as to, as long I feel that it's not interrupting the service or causing unnecessary offense. But what do you do with the empty little glass then?
Well, I just hold on to it, and then there's a receptacle to put it in, and I just usually after the service walk by and drop it in there.
I see. Okay. All right.
But now, there's been times where I forgot to do that, and I've had it on me, and then I, you know, just dispose of it out.
Yes, I understand.
Or whatever.
Okay. Well, like I say, it's an adiaphora. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'd have to get a little more advice and see. It'd be kind of interesting to know what other pastors would say, but I sure appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless. And we're not going to be able to take further calls today. But I do want to say a couple of things about this whole concept of communion. When we talk about you get the benefits, the Lord's Supper and baptism are not necessary for a person to receive to go to heaven. Abraham was neither baptized nor did he receive the Lord's Supper. And yet God saw his faith, which the Holy Spirit had given to him, and he regarded him as righteous. He reckoned him as righteous because in Christianity, one is saved not by works, but through trust in the promises of the gospel. And Abraham trusted that God would bring a child through Sarah who would then lead to the Messiah. That's what saved Abraham. So why does God set up baptism in the Lord's Supper if it's not necessary to receive in order to be saved? Remember that verse, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say, and is not baptized. Well, I regard that God wants us to look outside of ourselves for assurance of salvation. If you take a look at other Christian denominations and you ask them the question, why are you saved? Many times the sentence will begin with the pronoun I. Well, I go to church, or I believe in Jesus, or I trust that he died on the cross for my sins. You see, well, what happens, especially in those churches that give testimony saying, look at the wonderful life I'm having. And that's because of I'm going to heaven. And then all of a sudden, after you give that testimony, the next day your house burns down, your car is stolen, and you lose your job. Well, where's the assurance of your salvation? The assurance of salvation comes outside of us. Your sins are forgiven at the cross. You receive the gift of forgiveness of sins at baptism, because that's what he promises. And you know you're still a Christian because you're taking the Lord's Supper properly. In other words, God gives the sacraments as an assurance that you are truly part of the family of God. And what a wonderful way to conclude a service then with the Lord's Supper. I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, we're going to take a look at a text for the following Sunday, fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, where the people see Jesus do miracles, but he also, they hear him preaching. And they say, boy, does he have authority. What does that mean? Did Jesus speak with a loud voice? Is that why they think he had authority? We're going to look at that and see if that still occurs today. I'm Tom Baker. Until Monday then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.